Let's look at God's word, though, together. So, I'm in the New Testament this morning. I'm going to go to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to hang out mostly in the New Testament, so if you want to grab your Bible, we're just going to kind of spend a couple moments in a lot of these books that Paul wrote. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, you know, as I'm doing my devotions, like most of you, just reading the Bible, and all of a sudden God highlights something. I say that all the time, like, stop! When he does that, like, when you open the word of God, you're like, God, speak to me. And then he does, and then sometimes we just keep reading. Like, why would we do that? I know last night I was here preparing the message and just kind of mulling it over. I was just sitting there. I said, God, I just want you to speak. I don't want it to be me. It's got to be you. And so what do you want to say? And then God said something to me, and I kept praying. And I'm like, what am I doing? I got out of my chair, went to my office, and I just wrote it down, and I'll share it with you in just a moment. But I was like, if he speaks, listen. And hang out there and learn, okay, what is he saying? I want to dig a little bit deeper there. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown. Oh, this is exciting. That is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. And so when I read that, stand firm in the Lord. And so, I don't know, as a Christian, how do you do that? Like, what does that mean? You know, stand firm. And you're like, you know, you're going through a hard time. Stand firm. You'll be okay. You know, pray. You know, read your Bible. Okay, well, unpack that a little bit for me. What does that look like? So there's the question. So how do we stand firm? So let's go back just one chapter. So Philippians chapter 1, or chapter 3, verse 1. Sorry, just one chapter back. It says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It's a good way to stand firm. Rejoice. That's a good thing to do. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. Love that idea. It's a safeguard for you. Paul writes to us again and again and again, very similar thoughts all throughout his books in here. So we're going to go look at a few of them together. If you know me, I'm pretty orderly. You know, my sock drawer is pretty, my shirts are very, lined up. You know, I'm very systematic. And so we're going to do that. We're going to follow that a little bit here. So we're going to go back just five books. We're going to look at the last five books as Paul starts talking about the standing firm. How do we stand firm? We're going to unpack just some overarching themes that come out of the letters that Paul writes to different churches about how to stand firm. And he'll say it again and again and again. And so we'll go all the way back. So if we go back five books, Ephesians, Galatians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, make sure we get that in order, and then Romans. Let's go back to Romans just for a second here. Romans chapter 5. And we'll look at verse 1. So I just want to unpack from every book just an overarching theme that Paul's saying to people about how to stand firm. How do we stand firm? I want to know some of that stuff. You know, like, what's my expectation as a Christian now? Like, oh, I know Jesus, got the little get out of jail free card, you know, I got the Bible, got the big holy, you know, family Bible, you beat people with the holy Bible, Bible thumpers. You've got the sticker, you've got the, all those kind of things. You've got multiple versions of Bibles in your house that, you know, put your coffee on, different things. But I'm just saying, okay, well, what do you actually do? What does that mean? And so I want to look at that together. So we're going to look at about, it's not Pentecostal three things. We're going to talk about maybe 5, 6, 7. We'll see where the Lord gets to, but we're going to do a bunch of them. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have faith in God. We're justified through that. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Just, we have. Thank you, Lord. Not that we got to earn it, or that, oh, on a good day I have it, or when I'm older I'll get it. No. You believe in Jesus. You have it. It's part of you now. You can ignore it if you want, but it's in there. It's inside of you. The peace of God that surpasses this thing, it's right here. I have it. I own it. It's mine now. Now that I've accepted Jesus, I have peace. So how do we stand firm with whatever you're going through in life, good or bad? You can stand there having peace in the midst of it. Isn't that wonderful news? I lived for 23 years without that. Things would come at me and I would be angry and frustrated and anxious and, ticked off because I couldn't find peace. Because you can't buy peace. You can't understand peace. It's just part of you. It just moves in. It sets up camp. Isn't that great? I love it. We have peace. Okay. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We'll look at just one more in Romans. We therefore We're buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. And so often we would say, and this would be like, well, generationally, or the old me is coming through sometimes, but it's actually not true because you died to that. Jesus Christ died in a tomb and he raised to new life. The old is gonzo, bye-bye. And so for you and I, it's the same. We can't say, oh, my old nature is poking its head out, or my old attitudes are coming through. If you believe in Jesus Christ, it's actually dead. That's not true. It's not gospel. It's inaccurate. That's false teaching. That's false understanding. When you accept Jesus Christ, all that old stuff is gone. All that old stuff is dead. You're brand new. You think, oh, praise God. Well, you look at me, oh, that old guy, that was a bad guy. You see some pictures of you on, you know, out there, or you flip through Facebook, you see in your old photo album. I mean, so back in the day, guys, we had cameras and we printed photos and we put them in, you know, I'm just joking with you, like, photo albums, I'm just having fun. You say, that person's dead. That person's gone. Because I'm brand new. Isn't that wonderful to think about? So when you how do I stand firm? I stand firm knowing that I'm brand new. The old is gone. I don't have to be burdened by that anymore. I don't have to be attached to that anymore. I'm not connected to that anymore. I'm absolutely free from that because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross. That's a free gift. We have peace. We're brand new. Let's flip to the next book here. So 1 Corinthians. Again, just some overarching themes that come out of Paul's writings here. So 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. When you sin against your brothers in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Therefore, I love therefore, as I'm working on something I want to tell you about later. If what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again so that I will not cause him to fall. I want to share my story a little bit with you. I want to be really transparent as always. You know most of it. Most of you know my story. Back in the day, you know, very addicted to a lot of things. And I would say to people often, I said, well, hey, my family member was an alcoholic drunk. That's why I'm an alcoholic drunk. I would say those things. And when I got saved and I would come into people's homes, now, this is my story. Please don't, you know, bend this out of shape or take it out of context or something. For me and my house, for my past, I have to stay away from alcohol because of the way that and the destruction that it brought into my home. As a pastor, I think drinking alcohol, that's my choice. It's not a mandate, but I think it's a biblical stance that I should take as a leader. I should help people not to stumble in this area. Please don't ever hear like, oh, I have a drink every so often. Oh, that's not good. That's terrible. You know, like, not saying that. It's very scriptural. You know, if you have a glass of wine or something, it's fine. Just obviously don't have 18 of them. You know, it's a little bit too much. Or a 15-pack, you know. There's a line there. We don't want to cross that. So we all get that. So please, again, hear my heart in this. When I got saved and I started hanging around with some people and there was alcohol at certain events, Christian events, that was difficult for me. So I thought, I don't want to be a stumbling block for somebody. That's one example. So again, please don't bend that out of shape. But what's the other example? There's maybe some anger. You know, you're in somebody's house, they're just angry, just yelling and slamming doors. Like, that could cause somebody to stumble because they might be fearful. They may have been abused or hurt. So I don't want to cause them to stumble. I'm not going to slam doors and kick holes. You know, I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying? Like, don't cause others to stumble. How do I stand firm in the Lord? Well, I stand firm in the Lord by being aware of my surroundings. Who am I inviting into my home? What kind of, I mean, some people have done, like, gone over and above. I love some people in our church. They just do this all the time. Like, go to their house, they invite me over. They know I'm allergic to animals and dust and all that kind of stuff. So they kick their animals out of the house. You know, for days, just vacuum dusting all over. You know, my thyroid and my autoimmune disease, you know, opportunities that I got, I'm almost healed. In Jesus' name, I will just pray that it comes out. But I can't eat gluten, so people are very sensitive to that. Somebody made me cookies every Sunday. This is gluten-free, you know, woohoo! So you're very aware of that so that I don't stumble. I eat some gluten, I could be really sick. You know, you don't want me to do that, right? It's terrible. So be aware. How do we stand firm? We're aware of our surroundings. We're aware of who we're interacting with. Don't be so, we would say, right, self-absorbed. Be aware of these kind of things. That's how we stand firm. That's one way we can stand firm. Are we okay? I talked about alcohol. I apologize. I needed to go there. That's my story. That's just, okay, perfect. Praise the Lord. I prayed that you'd be okay after that one. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, we start in. And don't you know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They don't get a crown that will last, but we will get a crown that will last forever. Oh, yes, hallelujah. Therefore, I don't run like a man running aimlessly. I don't fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. I was watching something on TV the other day. It was embarrassing for me. I thought, okay, so there's a country where last year at the Olympics, this lady set a world record at the 800 and she won the gold medal. Now, that was 4 years ago. That's all in the past now. So now this year she has to qualify again to get in. I thought there's got to be some kind of exemption. I won the gold and I was the fastest on the planet. Now I have to prove to you again before I can get to the Olympics? Oh yeah, that's the way it works. So she's in the qualifying, in the finals of the qualifying. And if you know racing, sometimes there's like lanes, right? About eight or 10 lanes. And sometimes you all start like at different areas. And then after a certain amount of time, when you come to the straight stretch, then you can all go into the center lane and finish the race off. So as she's coming into the center of the lane, whoop, she eats it. Like completely gainers it, you know, just right on the face, you know, wounds up and down. She gets up, she tries to catch up. But I mean, you can't catch people after that. Like, these are professionals. And I just thought she worked for 4 years for that one moment and she completely missed it. What kind of things are we doing? We talk about this as a church often. We're moving into our 90th anniversary next year. What kind of things are we going to try and accomplish to get to 100 years? In the next 10 years, there are some things we'd like to accomplish as a church. There's some things we're working towards. I don't want to get towards those dates and go, at our 100th anniversary and just like, here comes the cake, you know, the cake goes on the floor. Oh my gosh, the 100th anniversary cake. I was working on that cake for 10 years, you know, like, it's you know, I don't know. Like, so as we stand for, how can I stand firm in the Lord? Well, I'm going to make sure I'm ready for that day. I'm going to make sure I'm ready for that moment, that divine appointment that God has for me. I'm going to make sure I'm spiritually ready to speak God's word, speak his truth, whatever comes at me. I'm going to respond well because I'm standing, I'm working. We talk about this as like an Olympic runner. You know, even when it was written, it was like that. There was some, you know, events going on. Say they would beat their body into submission so that when they said run, you would just run. And so when God speaks, I want to speak. And when God moves, I want to move with him. And so how do we stand firm? We stand firm knowing, again, that we've got an eternal crown. We don't have to worry about our eternal destination. I'm going to heaven. And as I'm living my life, I want to share that with people. I want to be an example to people. So that's another way we stand firm. Let's flip over to 2 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 4 now. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, don't lose heart. Wow. There's so much right now in the world that we can really lose heart, lose perspective. Though outwardly we are wasting away. Oh my, I was trying to wakeboard the other day. I had a spasm in my leg. I threw my hamstring out. And so what else happened? Oh, my arm got pulled out of my socket. I thought, what's going on with you, cheap body? You know, it's not 20 anymore, I guess. Every time they'd pin it, and it would just be like, I'll just eat it. I couldn't even get up. It's terrible. This body is just like not good. I need a new one. I need to go back in time a little bit. Guess I'm not 20. I just want to be a kid again, you know. There's just no hope, you know. I remember the boat drivers, one more? You know, I was about 7. One more? No more. I'm done. I'm like swallowing the lake. There's not much water left in Lake House Lake. It's in my stomach. It was just crazy. Yet inwardly we're being renewed. Look at this, renewed when? When I get saved, renewed, you know, Sunday, renewed, no. Renewed every single day, daily. So as I stand firm in the Lord, I know that I'm being renewed in his presence. And I love that idea too, because maybe in a few minutes, a few days ago or last night or maybe this afternoon, we make a mistake. We say, I pooped now. Pastor told me to stand firm and I'm just making a big old mess of the situation. That's okay. Because then you get renewed. And you get to come back to Christ and say, sorry, Lord, missed that one. Let me pick myself up. Let me clean up this cake. Let me pick myself off the ground, put a Band-Aid on my situation, and let me continue to go on. I was talking with some people the other day about this idea. So I haven't totally fleshed it out, so it might be a little bit chaotic, but let me try and make some sense of it. When we come to Jesus, when you first get saved, isn't that a fun memory? You're like, wow. I was just radically different. I felt like I was on fire. I just felt like the word of God just, you know, leapt out at me. I just felt like, you know, the weight of all of my stuff was just lifted off. We just felt great. And so when we look back at that situation, we say, man, I was way more spiritual back then. I was just on fire for the Lord. Now I'm like old and my leg hurts, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, like we're just different. But I kind of question that a little bit. I'm going to just have some fun with you. Because I think when we're unsaved, that chasm to where God is to be saved, unsaved area, you know, saved area, I think that is such a big transformation in us that we're like, wow, what a big deal. And so often we think sometimes, like, now that we're saved, we're like, okay, so to get saved, I had to do this, I had to say that, I had to work towards it. Scripturally, I is no good for anything. You got to get out of the way, let Jesus do the work. Jesus already done the work. So as we're unsaved, and I got to get over to Jesus, I got to get over to God. God puts you in like a cannon. I love cannons, you know, like I love those cartoons. You get in the cannon, you know, something bad's going to happen, or like the Muppets, you know, get in the cannon. Boom! He blasts you to the other side where you're saved. And you're like, wow, thanks, God. And it's just so miraculous. It's so quick, right? It's not like building a bridge, you know, hammer, nail, got to cut wood down. It's just overnight. And now that we're saved, we're over here. Sometimes we can come complacent, right, kind of relax, or we're being renewed day by day. We're growing. And sometimes those steps, now that, again, from unsaved to saved was a massive chasm, and now that we're saved, we just move towards Jesus gently. There's a little bit more to clean up, a little bit more refining, a little bit more, you know, and these seem like baby steps. Now we think, oh, I don't know, I'm not very spiritual anymore. God's not doing very much. I don't know what's going on. It's totally normal. I think we kind of miss that, I think, sometimes. We think, I've just been coasting for 10 years. I probably don't agree with that thought. I just don't think it's such a big transformation now that you're saved. You look at it in a not as exciting. You're like, you know, you're not as angry anymore, or you're not as frustrated anymore, or you read a little bit more, you pray a little bit longer. And so we don't look at those as like gigantic wins, you know. How do we stand firm? We stand firm in those ways. By a daily renewing process. When you wake up every day, you're like, God, use me and fill me and strengthen me. I want to follow your ways. And God uses you. And then sometimes when he does that, we're like, well, that was okay. You know, I was like, yeah, I kind of nailed that one. You know, we don't take it like, thank you, Jesus. Like, wow, that was exciting. Wow, praise God, eh? Praise God, there's breath in my lungs this morning. I get to wake up and try again. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll just flip over the page one. Just a couple more thoughts here, and then we'll be done. Therefore, in verse 6, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We're confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And just to clarify there, if we're in the lineup for the judgment seat of Christ, that's a good thing. That's for Christians. If you're in the lineup for the white throne judgment, that's a concerning place. You don't want to be in that judgment. Because in the lineup of the judgment seat of Christ, it says here that each one of us will receive what is due for him and the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. It's not whether it's heaven or hell. It's what you did with your life as a Christian, whether good or bad, and you'll be judged for that. You know, you're going to make it, but you're going to be judged for the good or the bad you did. I like that idea, too. It's like, for the bad you did as a Christian. Ah, dang. I didn't want to read that part. For the good as a Christian. I'm just, you know, I'm a good Christian. You know, I'm just nail it every day. No, God's like, come back to reality, mate. You're going to do some bad stuff sometimes, too. Darn it. But then we know that we just read. There's a renewing for us. Oh, praise God, we get to be renewed. We get to be closer to him. So how do we stand firm? Again, we make it our goal to please him, whatever the cost, and even if we do something bad, we make a mistake along the way. God is very gracious. He's very forgiving. I don't ever pursue God on my knees in my prayer time, and God goes, you moron, you're a knucklehead, you're out of control. I told you once, I told you a thousand times, you're never going to, you know. That's not God that I worship. I worship a God that's compassionate, that's full of mercy, that's, you know, 7 times 70 chances of forgiveness of those bad things that we've done. We don't want to go around doing bad things, but they do happen every so often. Let me kind of jump over Galatians just because of timing's sake. We're going to zip over to Ephesians chapter 5, something I want to pull out there. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, we'll start at. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. When he wrote that, they were, and when we read this today, there are some. Therefore, don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And what is the Lord's will for my life? It's to stand firm again, to stand firm in his word so that I can know his will. I want to expand upon that just for a moment. So there's a gentleman and his family here, Pastor Vic from Hong Kong. They're going to Prince Rupert. I just dropped them off yesterday. They're considering pastoring, becoming the new pastors in Prince Rupert. And they're saying, hey, we're all the way from Hong Kong. You know, we're just married. We got a kid. They're saying, you know, I've got to move countries. I've got to transfer all my stuff. I don't even like fishing. You know, the guy was intimidated by fishing. I said, let's go kill something together. And he's like, we went out and had some fun. But he's like, you know, I don't know. I heard it rains a lot, but I do like rainbows. And so there's all these moving parts. And then, so what should I do? What's the decision? If the board of the church goes, you can have the job. And he has to go, is that the Lord's will? He has to question that, right? We question that in life. Am I doing the Lord's will? How do we know that? Thank you. Hello. Just open it up. Speak to you. Just directly ask God. Say, God, I don't know if I should go that way or this way. What do you want to do? Just do your devotions. He'll speak to you. I promise you. It'll be so clear. I left him yesterday as we went our ways. I said, let me just pray for you for a moment. I said, God, whatever your decision is, as you always do, make it crystal clear. It is. It's never like, there's three options. And God's like, you can choose one. I don't know if that's scriptural. Maybe there's a story in there somewhere. But I'm pretty sure it's just like, God's like, do this thing. Be obedient there. Go here. Say that. It's always clear. The thing that we run into, right, is sometimes we don't listen to that. God speaks to us, and then we're like, are you sure, Lord? I'm just triple checking with you before I do that decision. God is clear. He wants to speak to you. Let's look at the last verse here this morning. Philippians, we're going to jump all the way to where we started. That's way too far. Philippians chapter 3. So we started in Philippians 4:1. We looked at Philippians 3:1. And often when we just read a scripture, we say, there's a scripture. We've got to look at the context of where it landed. What else was being said? Why did he say to do these things? Why stand firm? Stand firm in what? And so let's look at that just for a moment here together. So in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, just a couple verses here, then we'll wrap it up. Verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind me and straining towards what is ahead. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of these things, and if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already obtained, join with the others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you, as he has often written again and again and again, before now, with tears, many live as enemies of the Christ for cross. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. Those are people that are, you know, living away from the Lord. But here we go in verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. And then we get to verse 4:1 here, Philippians 4:1, where we started. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm. dear friends. So again, how do we stand firm? We stand firm in all of those, you know, suggestions and encouragements that Paul would write to the church, write to us. We stand firm by knowing that we have peace. We stand firm knowing that God is a forgiving and peaceful God. We stand firm from all of these different things as God speaks to us. And so what do we do with that? At times, I think sometimes we are supposed to just stand firm and just stay put. Have you ever said that to somebody, to your kids? Stay here while I go over there. And the kid goes, really? And then you leave the room and it just goes chaos, right? You come back to the room and you're like, I told you to stay right there. What happened? Where did you go? So that doesn't usually work, right? God would just say to you, just stand here and just wait for something cool to happen. Have you seen that in the movies? You know, just wait here. I'll come back later. Nobody ever waits. Nobody ever stays. They're always like, we got to go. Something's got to happen here. I'm going to go do something. In our waiting and our standing firm, though, we can do so many things, can't we? As we're waiting, we're like, I don't know, I'm in this kind of transition, God. So what do we do in those moments? We read his word, we pray, we love on people, we encourage people, we invite people in our homes, we be generous, we serve, all these kind of things we do. We don't just kind of stand around, you know, God's going to show up one day and do something cool. Like and then there's times when God says, I want you to go now. I want you to get out there, I want you to do this, I want you to go there, I want you to serve here, I want you to build that thing. And so we go. But there are both times. So don't be like depressed as you're waiting. Don't use that as like a negative. He's preparing you for something. Be ready. Isn't that fun to think about? As you're waiting, you're thinking, oh God, oh my God, God is up to something. It's going to come any day now. I'm excited. I'm getting ready. I'm in anticipation. You're not like sitting around like, oh my God, to watch some TV, I got to kill some time because God isn't showing up and doing something cool in my life. So I just want you to kind of sense that as we stand firm together. As we stand firm, sometimes we think, oh, it's summertime in the church, so there's not as much happening around here. The fall comes, that's when we do things. In the summertime, we all just out on vacation, you know, golfing, fishing, all that kind of stuff. We stand firm. Let me close with one more story because I love stories. I promise it'll be my last story. Maybe we're good luck as a pastor. I was out the other day with my son Emmanuel. We're playing golf. And every time I step up to some of this language you might not understand, but hopefully it lands on a par three. That means you got to hit it in the hole in three shots. At the par three, I'm standing on the ball. Every time I stand there, I'm thinking, maybe today's the day I'm going to put this little ball in its home. You go in your home, watch this. And you're like, why is it going in the bushes? You know, or like, why is it on the sand trap? And I'm thinking, I like the beach. I like it being over there. Or why is it in the water? I got the cleanest ball on the course every time we play. It's always in the water. Stupid ball. But I just think maybe one day, maybe 30 years I've practiced this swing, man. It's my hamstring. That's what happened from that wakeboarding messed me up. It threw my angle off there. But, you know, one day it's going to go in. But I wonder what your one day is. This is just silly context, you know, but in the spiritual realm, maybe it might be 30 years down the road and you've prepared yourself for that moment when God speaks and you say, look at that, and you just nail it. And you're like, yes, that was awesome. I'm so glad that I stood firm in those moments, preparing myself for that moment because God used me in a powerful way. It might be a short season, it could be a long season, but just be an anticipation for our God because he's so good and he wants to do fun things with you. Amen? Amen. So Father, in Jesus' name, we're grateful for your word. Thank you for the authority and the power it has to speak into our lives and change our hearts, change our motives, change our agendas. And so, Lord, we just surrender to you again. So often I think about the church. You know, that's an easy place to start. We just surrender the church again into your hands. We're all excited about our 100th anniversary and 10 years from now and all the ideas and plans that we have. But we don't want our ideas. We want God's ideas. We want God's agenda. We want to look back 10 years later and say, thank you, God, for showing up. Thank you, God, for what you did. And in our own lives, I feel the same way, Father, as we go year after year, as we get older, we want to be sensitive to you. We want to be obedient to you. We want to be prepared for those moments when you want to use us. And so, God, help us to do that. God, we need help. Can't do this on our own. We need you. We need your Holy Spirit. So thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here ministering and speaking to us. Praise God in Jesus' name. Amen.